The Lord be with you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our noon service here at IPC. If you're an IPC regular, it's great to see you again. And if you're new or visiting, thanks for joining us for worship. At IPC, we come from the east and the west, from the south and from the north, but we all have in common love for our King Jesus. After I pray, we are going to have a musical prelude. During that time, I invite you to focus your mind on the Lord and to meditate on the psalm in the bulletin. Pray with me. Loving God, we come to worship you today. We come to sing, pray, reflect, to confess, and to listen. We thank you for always hearing us. Help us to hear you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 145, verses 9 to 13, and can be found on page 631 of the Church Bibles and in your bulletin insert. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. This is the word of the Lord. Today's New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, and can be found on page 980 in the Church Bibles and in your bulletin insert. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
If you had to put a price tag on your life, what would it be? How much would your life cost? All your possessions, your relationships, your schooling, your experiences, everything you've accumulated for yourself. How much do you think it would be worth? Well, according to eBay, Ian Usher's life was worth about 300,000 francs. So Ian, an Australian man, was kind of tired of his life and he just wanted to go travel the world. And he had the bright idea of just selling his life, all of it. So Ian went on eBay and put up his life for auction. In it, he had his house, his vehicles, all of his possessions, like literally all of his possessions except the clothes he was wearing on him and his passport. In it, he put his job, his private company, all his work supplies. In it, he even put his relationships, so his friends and family. As part of the package, you got an introduction to them, you got their phone numbers, stuff like that. How much was all of that worth? Well, apparently, about 300,000 francs, because someone bought it. Someone bought Ian's life. That's kind of weird, right? But yeah. What is your life worth? What is the cost? What would be valuable enough to trade your life for? Well, hold on to that question. Please wait until after the service to try and sell your life on eBay, okay? I know some of you are probably itching to do it now that you know it's an option. But as we get into the sermon, hold on to that question. What would be valuable enough to trade my life for? Today, we are going to continue our series on Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God. So Pastor Mark led us through the parable of the sower and the parable of the master and the servant. Today we will focus on two very short parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great value. Here's a quick refresher of what we've been discussing. We all live in the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world is the universe done our way, done humanity's way, a shattered place, a place twisted and broken by our sinful choices and lives, a place that embodies death and hatred. But there is another kingdom out there. There is another reality, an alternative reality, a spiritual reality, a reality that Jesus calls the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is the universe done God's way, as it was created to be, a place defined by the presence of God, a place of wholeness that embodies God's ways of life and love. Right now, we live lives marred by sin, broken lives in the kingdom of the world. But there is hope. This kingdom we live in is just a temporary one. One day when Christ returns, he will ultimately restore the universe to how it should be. Jesus will make the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God also a physical reality and the only reality. As Christians, we're members, we're citizens of the kingdom of God today. And as we await for Christ's return, we actively live out the ways of his kingdom. We live out the ways of his alternate reality, the ways of the universe done God's way. If you were here the past few weeks, and remember, Pastor Mark had the alternate reality goggles, right? Showing that we put them on, right? And we live out the alternate reality of the kingdom of God here on earth today. So in each of the parables we're going to go through, Jesus reveals to us truths about his kingdom and ways we can live out this kingdom reality. So pray with me as we get into our parables. Lord, we thank you for your words to us in the book of Matthew. We ask that you help us to understand them clearly and then to live out your alternative ways here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read our parables once more. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Our first truth about the kingdom of heaven, about God's kingdom, is the cost of the kingdom. The cost of the kingdom. To receive the treasure and the pearl, which of course represent the kingdom of God, our characters have to give up everything they have. They have to sacrifice all they've accumulated for themselves up to this point. It costs them everything. So clearly in this allegory, Jesus presents to us the idea that becoming a part of his kingdom, being in his kingdom, will cost us, and not just a little bit, but it will cost us dearly. We'll have to give up all we have for his kingdom. So think back to Ian Usher, right, selling his life on eBay for 300,000 francs. Maybe all you have isn't worth that much, or maybe all you have is worth way more than that. But it doesn't really matter. This parable seems to say that the cost of the kingdom is everything you have and all that you've built for yourself. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, that sounds weird or incorrect. What about the truth that salvation, that becoming a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, is a free gift from God? Paul says, for example, in Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What about the free gift? The Lord Jesus, through his death and resurrection, offers to all forgiveness of sins, eternity with him in his kingdom, free of charge. This is reality. So what is Jesus saying here about this cost of his kingdom, this cost of everything you have? What is that? All right, so I want to ask you a question. Were any of you born here on Earth? Anyone? Any Earthlings out there? Okay, that's good. I guess there's a couple of aliens as well, but that's okay. All good. Hate to break it to you, but if you were born, if you exist as a human being, you've been a member of the kingdom of the world, of this fallen world twisted by our sin. The kingdom of the world, it's really where we're from, right? It's kind of our hometown, where we grew up. It's our roots. We've all been locals in the kingdom of the world. We've all lived out ways of our fallen world. We've embodied them. We've contributed to them. We're all sinners. And over our lives, we have accumulated for ourselves, we've obtained, we've built up for ourselves the ways of this world, the ways of our hometown, the ways of pride, the ways of me first, the ways of my dreams, my goals, my happiness over all else, the ways of greed and lust and idolatry, the ways of selfishness. You get the point. And with what we have accumulated for ourselves, we've produced interest. We have produced the fruits of this kingdom, the fruits of conflict and hate, bitterness, deceit, resentment, stinginess, cruelty, injury, etc. As people who've grown up and been a part of the kingdom of the world, we have all accumulated worldly ways, worldly treasures, worldly wealth for ourselves. And we've all produced, then, the toxic fruits of this kingdom. Now, when we become followers of Christ, when we become a part of the kingdom of God, it's like we're leaving our hometown, our homeland. We're getting on a plane, getting on the train, leaving where we've grown up, where we're comfortable, where we understand the ways, the rules, the language. And we're entering, arriving at, a new home. Joining a new kingdom, a new culture with new ways, new rules that are foreign to us, ways that are uncomfortable and challenging to us. And in this kingdom we've arrived in, we have a new allegiance and we have a new king. It's King Jesus. Often when we travel, we bring suitcases and bags with us, right? So if we're moving country, we may even bring all our stuff with us. We may pack it all up in boxes, have it shipped or driven to our new home. Now, I know we're not a very international congregation. Most of you have probably never even been on a plane before, right? But has anyone out there ever moved? Anyone ever moved in our congregation? Yeah? Okay, a couple of you, yeah. All right, so when we become a part of the kingdom of God, when we metaphorically take the plane from our hometown of the kingdom of the world and enter God's kingdom, we bring all we have with us. Everything we've accumulated and built for ourselves in our hometown, all our ways, our treasures, our habits, we pack it up in our bags, put it in our shipping container, and we arrive in the kingdom of God with all of it. We arrive with bags and bags, boxes upon boxes of accumulated darkness. We arrive with all our sinful ways, all of our mess. Now, I promise this metaphor is almost over. Let's imagine that King Jesus then shows up at our new place to help us settle in to his kingdom. Our living room is packed full, floor to ceiling, with these boxes we brought. And King Jesus, in his love and in his care, goes through the boxes with us. He unpacks them. He goes through our accumulated wealth, which is our greed, our lust, our idolatry, our pride, our selfishness, the worldly treasures we've obtained for ourselves. And as he opens the boxes, in his love, in his care for us, he asks us to get rid of them, to throw them out. He asks us to sacrifice all we have that is against his rule and against his kingdom. For we've left our hometown behind, and now we're a part of the kingdom of life and the kingdom of love. the possessions we've brought, the things that cause pain and hurt and produce these poisonous fruits, they have no place here. In his love, the king asks us to give them up. Now, of course, we don't travel with bags and boxes to the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is a spiritual reality that as Christians we are a part of now. We're members of now, even as we live out our lives today in the kingdom of the world. But I think you get the point. As people who've grown up in this broken kingdom of the world, most of what we have is from there. Most of our ways and our habits, our beliefs, our plans are from there, and they've been twisted. They've been messed up by sin. As members of God's kingdom, we're asked by King Jesus to sacrifice everything we have that goes against him, to sacrifice all the ways of the world we've picked up and we've embodied, the lives we've built up for ourselves. This is the cost. Now, Jesus has no modern marketing department to tell him to play down the cost or to disguise it, right? Jesus is brutally honest about what it will cost us to be a part of his kingdom, his people. The pearl ends up costing everything. The treasure costs everything. And elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus is crystal clear about this. So in Luke 14:33, Jesus says, "Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." In Matthew 16:24-25, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." To be Jesus' disciple is to live as a citizen of his kingdom. It means to give up everything we have that's against him. It means to take up our cross, to die to our old ways, to lose the life we've built for ourselves, and to sacrifice it for King Jesus. There's the price tag. All right, so all of this talk about the cost of the kingdom naturally leads us to a question we must then ask ourselves. Is it worth it? Is being a part of the kingdom of God worth the cost? Is it worth giving up all we've accumulated in the kingdom of the world, all we've built for ourselves, all our worldly hopes and dreams, to be a part of it? It's the question we asked at the very beginning. Is the kingdom of God valuable enough to trade our lives for? Well, as you can probably guess, I believe the answer is an unequivocal yes. Yes, yes, the cost is worth it. And even more so than that, the cost is actually a complete and utter bargain. It's a bargain. God is offering us the deal of a lifetime, a bargain that is almost unfathomable. The kingdom of God is worth much, much more than everything any of us have. The kingdom of God is of infinite value. Everything we have pales in comparison. To receive the kingdom of God is to receive God himself. To be close to the source of all love, all life, all goodness, now and forevermore. To live and worship in his presence forever. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more. There's nothing more valuable. Not even close. The cost, in comparison to receiving God, is practically nothing. The giving up of ourselves, the giving up of our selfish ways, our sinful treasures we've accumulated, this is the giving up of what was actually killing us anyways, right? Giving that up to receive God himself. What we've obtained for ourselves is temporary, but God is eternal. What we've built for ourselves is flawed, but God is perfect. The plans, the hopes, the dreams we've laid for ourselves, we're just broken attempts at finding love and finding wholeness, right? Finding meaning. Well, in God, we find true love. We find completion. We find meaning. Paul puts this reality brilliantly for us in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9. So Paul says, "But whatever were gains to me," and by that he means all the worldly stuff Paul has going for him, right? All he's accumulated and built for himself, right? He mentions his heritage, his Pharisaism, his persecution of the church, his perfect obedience to the law. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." All we had, all we sacrifice and lose for the kingdom of God is garbage, is worth nothing compared to the all-surpassing worth of knowing Christ, of being a part and member of his kingdom. When we put it into perspective, when we understand what receiving the pearl, the treasure, the kingdom means, when we understand the all-encompassing value, we will gladly give all we have for it. We'll gladly trade our lives for it. I want to read our parable in Matthew once more, the first part of it. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." The man sells all he has with joy to receive this treasure. He rejoices as he packs up his stuff, goes to the market and sells all his possessions, everything he's worked for and built his entire life, knowing he will receive something of much greater worth, knowing all he sacrifices is nothing compared to what he receives. The kingdom of God, to know and be with God, is worth all we have and so much more. And in his great love, God invites all of us into his kingdom. A perfect kingdom, not done our way, but a kingdom done his way. All right, so let's quickly review. We've learned two truths about God's kingdom, what it costs and what it's worth. To enter God's kingdom is a free gift, but God will ask us then to sacrifice all we've accumulated for ourselves, all our ways that are in rebellion to him. This will mean to give up our very selves. This is the cost. And is this cost worth it? Well, it's worth it, all right. It's worth so much more than everything we have. The cost is a bargain. In comparison to receiving God himself, the cost is virtually nothing. All right, now we're gonna change gears, and when we'll finish talking a little bit about living out this alternative reality, living out God's kingdom ways today. Often in our culture, we'll hear phrases like, "you be you," or "you do you," "never change," or in relationships, "you're perfect the way you are, baby," right? Anyone heard these phrases before or said these phrases? Yes, right? Yeah. So we live in a culture today where it's quite controversial to tell someone that they need to change. It's quite controversial to tell someone that there's something wrong with the way they are, that maybe they aren't perfect the way they are, that maybe they aren't the way they were meant to be. And I would argue that when we live out the alternative reality of the kingdom of God, we believe and internalize an alternate set of phrases. So, not "you be you," but "you be like Christ." Not "you do you," but "you do like Christ." Not "never change," but "change to be like Christ." Living out the reality of God's kingdom means living with an understanding that we need to change, that there are things wrong with us, that we aren't perfect, that maybe we aren't the way God made or intended for us to be. Living out the ways of the kingdom of God means living a life of sanctification. Now, that's a fancy Christian word. A classic definition of it would be something like this. God's ongoing work within us, within Christians, that renews us inwardly and conforms us gradually to the image of Christ. God's ongoing work within Christians that renews us inwardly and conforms us gradually to the image of Christ. So basically the idea that as Christians, we're sinful people. And throughout our lives, God works in us, transforms us to draw out our sins and then to make us more like him. Now, remember the baggage, the box metaphor from before. When we become Christians, citizens of the kingdom of God, we bring all our baggage. We bring all our sinful ways we've accumulated. And as Christ works in us, he opens these boxes. He reveals to us our sin and asks us to get rid of them. Asks us to get rid of everything that goes against him. He asks us to change. And the reality is that God doesn't just ask us to get rid of our sinful ways, but he helps us to get rid of them. He actually does the heavy lifting. God works in our hearts, in our minds. His spirit works to cleanse us from our sinful practices. It's kind of like Jesus picking up the box with us, right? He's got most of the weight. And together, we toss it out the window. And when God works in us, he doesn't just draw out our sinful ways, but he works in us to replace them with his ways. It's as if Jesus pulls up a huge moving truck outside the house, right? A big truck full of boxes. And when we toss out one of our own, he goes and brings in one of his. The process of sanctification is Christ making us more like himself. And as God changes us, as we accumulate and obtain the ways of God, well, we bear not the poisonous fruits of this world, but the fruits of his spirit, the fruits of his kingdom. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As God works in us, he empties our house of our boxes and fills it with his. He empties us of the things that were actually destroying us and fills us with himself, with his life. Now, there's a stereotype that's been going around for at least the past couple of centuries that Christians, that church people, are judgmental. Anyone heard of the stereotype? Anyone? Well, it's not true, right? It couldn't be. Christians? Judgmental? No way, right? Well, the reality is, we all have the sinful tendency to judge others, to look at others and not ourselves. And with sanctification, the reality is we church people often have the tendency to focus on other people's needs for sanctification and to ignore our own. We all act like that one nosy neighbor, okay? We all know one. We've got our binoculars out, right? We're looking out our windows creepily into our neighbor's house, and we see their pile of boxes, right? Their sinful ways, and we think, ha, they are in need of Jesus. Wow, he's got his work cut out with them. Look at that pile of boxes, that mountain. Whew. Now, if we would just take a moment to pull our binoculars off and look around our own living room, we would realize there's piles upon piles of our own boxes that we need getting rid of. But we don't like that, right? We don't want to do that. Judging others' piles is way easier. It's way easier. Now, we may think, I became a Christian, I became a part of the kingdom of God a year ago, okay? I gave up all my boxes, all my sinful ways to Christ then. I paid the price of the kingdom then. Or I became a Christian 5 years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And back then, I paid the cost. I got rid of all my ways and put on Christ's ways. I'm good. But the reality is, sanctification is a lifelong process. An hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly process. Paying the cost of the kingdom of God, giving up ourselves and being filled with Christ is a lifelong process. We've all got our own boxes. No matter how long we've been a part of the kingdom of God, we've all still got sinful ways, sinful treasures. Living out the alternative reality of the kingdom of God today means daily asking Christ to look through our lives, to look through our baggage, to remove our sinful ways and to replace them with him and with his ways, to his glory and his worship alone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this parable that you've given us. God, we ask you that you help us to understand the worth and the value of your kingdom, that there is infinite value to being with you and being in your presence and worshiping you in eternity. God, we ask that today, this week, this month, this year, you work in our lives. You help us to give up our own ways, give up our own worldly treasures, and to replace them with yourself and with your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It is like a pearl of great value. It's worth all we have and much, much more. As we leave today, let us not hold back, but let us joyfully give ourselves to our King Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace.